Bonjour, I'm Rick Steves, and this is Travel with Rick Steves, and today we're traveling through the minefield of French culture for the American traveler. We want to understand the most complex and, I think, rewarding culture that you can become an expert in your travels. When you travel through France, the more you understand the French, the more fun you're going to have, and the more you're going to like the French people that you encounter. And I've got two good friends of mine here from France. We've got Patrick Vidal from Gascony, near the Spanish border in France, but living in Brittany now, and Sabine Letouturier. Is that correct? Please, tell me your name, Sabine.
Le Teinturier. Sabine Le Teinturier.
This is one of the problems with the French language.
No, it's your problem.
It's my problem. Very good. So, Sabine, thank you for joining us. And you're from Languedoc?
Yes, I'm originally from Paris. And I live now in the Languedoc region, which is just above the Spanish border on the Mediterranean.
All right. And Patrick, Gascony. Tell me about Gascony.
Gascony is the area down southwest of France. It's the deep French southwest. And that's the region where comes from the foie gras, all the food with ducks and all that kind of thing.
There. Cassoulet?
Very, very nice. Cassoulet. Cassoulet is a little bit more central than that but okay. Not very far.
So the south of France. And today you live in Brittany.
Today I live in Brittany, yeah.
And that's not French at all. It's Celtic, right?
It's different, yeah. I mean, France is different all over. I mean, diversity in France is the big, big thing. I mean,
that is.
If you're next to the Spanish border, you've got paella and bullfights. If you go to Nice, you've got pizzas. So and if you go to Alsace, you've got beer.
Yeah. So you say "Vive la différence."
Vive la différence.
What does that mean when you say that? I mean, well, I know it means here's for the let's celebrate the difference. But what do you mean when you say that to somebody?
But you know, in fact, this sentence is not that much used in France. I mean, it's kind of it's more of a cliche than anything else. People will not necessarily use the sentence to say to people you're right to be different or whatever. I mean, it's not very used much, this sentence.
But you enjoy the differences.
Of course. I mean, to me, traveling through France is almost traveling through Europe, just speaking the same language.
So true, isn't it? France is the size of Texas, but you're right in the middle. So you're bordering, you got Italian culture in the Riviera.
You have the Italian culture. We are surrounded by the sea. You know, we really look to the sea. Basically, in France, you know, that's the ocean. I mean, we are the tip of the Western continent.
So you've got the Italians. You've got a lot of Italian influence in the Riviera. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of Spanish influence down in Gascony, where you're from, Patrick.
Celtic influence in Brittany.
You got the Irish connection right across the way.
Absolutely, yeah.
With Brittany. And you've got
Flemish in the northern part.
Yeah. And the Germans on Alsace.
And German.
There's five regional languages in France.
What are those?
So you have the Breton, where actually Patrick is from.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Alsacien, the Alsace, you know, just bordering the Rhine and Germany. You have, where I live, the Occitan, l'Occitan, the Languedoc, the Occitan. You have the Corse language, you know, Corsica.
Corsica
that we don't often talk about, but that has a very strong regional culture. We have the Basque.
All right.
And actually, we have another one, which is the Provençal.
All right. And these are more distinct than a lot of travelers would realize.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the American comes in, it's just France. But for you guys, it's...
You can tell, for example, I'm not originally from the Languedoc region. And believe me, as soon as I speak, they know that I'm one of those invaders from Paris.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. That southern accent is very strong. The country, as you said, you know, is the size of Texas, and there's diversity. There's diversity in the culture, in the region, but also as far as the climate, as far as the geography, because we have three mountain ranges.
Right.
I think until people really come to France and really travel through France, it's very difficult to quite realize how a country that size can have, you know, four different climates.
With all these regions, you can characterize these regions. If I say a region, tell me in a nutshell what comes to mind. Bordeaux.
Mm. Wine.
Wine. Burgundy.
Wine.
Loire.
Oh, we can say wine.
Okay. We're going to start over. You can't say wine. There's wine from every region. Okay. Something other than wine. Okay. Bordeaux.
Bordeaux. Well, Bordeaux is just kind of a really a downsized Paris.
Downsized Paris. Okay, that's
interesting. Downsized Paris.
Burgundy.
I mean, beautiful, beautiful buildings, but mm-hmm. also very good wine, which really doesn't take anything away from the buildings.
Okay, so Bordeaux, we can break the rule. Wine.
Okay. Wine, okay.
Okay, Burgundy.
Burgundy, the image of France. What the foreigners have got as an image of France would be Burgundy, rolling hills. And very, very quiet landscape. And okay.
Like we
and
say profound, or do you say profound,
yeah,
France?
Yeah, France profonde, yeah.
Mm-hmm. La France profonde. That would be quintessential good. France, Burgundy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Loire Valley.
The Château.
Yeah, the Châteaux.
You know, really the Renaissance.
And you have Châteaux from every age there.
Yes, really. It's really the gardens of France. You know, it really borders, again, the Loire. Just a wonderful soil.
Beautiful from a production point of view, but also beautiful, elegant palace gardens and so on also.
Yes, yes.
It's also the cradle of French language. I mean,
the cradle of the French language. Okay.
If you think of a BBC French accent,
right.
That's the Loire Valley accent.
Loire, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Brittany.
Brittany? Oh, Celtic rules. It's just like festivals and parties and mysteries, stories and
bagpipes
and
lace bonnets.
Put the music on and you think you're in Ireland. I mean, there's no question about it.
Cider. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Normandy.
Oh, the three C's.
Tell me what the three C's are. You've told me many times.
Cider, Calvados, Camembert.
Cider, Calvados.
No, this is a cliche. This is a Rick Steve cliche.
Okay, tell me what Normandy is for not
okay, Normandy. Just rolling, you know, just green pastures. Cows. Actually.
Okay, dairy. Dairy.
Really
dairy.
Large,
okay, Camembert.
Very, very beautiful. Very pastoral views.
Provence.
Sun. Big skies.
Big skies.
Small villages.
Cicadas.
Crickets.
No.
Cicadas.
No.
What are those
they
things?
They go.
Little insects.
Like crickets. Like,
yeah, they're
like
they,
sort of French. But, crickets with a French accent.
Yeah, but they're prettier than crickets.
Okay, pretty crickets.
Pretty crickets.
Elegant French crickets. What's the word again?
Cigale. Which is actually the good luck charm of Provence.
And you can hear them. They're like millions of them in the
and
trees.
Unfortunately, yes. When they start...
They have become the symbol of Provence nowadays. If you start a movie anywhere and you want to show that it's Provence, just put the sound of the crickets behind and everybody knows, it's Provence.
Mm-hmm. What kind of food in Provence?
Vegetables, yeah.
Just really, really food that just there hasn't been really much to it. Very, very savory, very fresh herbs.
Simple quality.
You're going to be shopping at the market. It's going to be a lot of fresh vegetable, olive oil, garlic, herbs of Provence.
La Côte d'Azur, the French Riviera.
Côte d'Azur. Oh, the Côte d'Azur is so varied. You know, the cliché is like Nice, you know, the mm-hmm. beaches. But the Côte d'Azur has also some magnificent villages, some little creeks.
Off of the coast, you mean?
Inside. Of the coast.
So you should go interior for the...
Absolutely. If you're going to be going, like, if you're going to hit the biggies of the Riviera... For one thing, I'd just like to just really define the Riviera. It starts, it's west, okay, no, east. I have a problem with my east and my west. East of Toulon.
East of Toulon, okay.
Is the Riviera, the French Riviera.
And then to the Italian border.
Yes, and then it continues, you know, the Italian Riviera. But that part of it is called the Riviera.
Right. The Dordogne. British people like the Dordogne.
British people love the Dordogne.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because when they started to move down there, it was very cheap. Most of the French people didn't want to live anymore in those little villages down there. And a lot of places to be restored, renovated there. Right. And it was cheap to do. The climate was nice. Was still not too far from England. And now a lot of
British people own homes there now.
Oh, yeah. They're colonized now. They've got their
colonized by the British?
Oh, yeah. They've got the newspaper. They've got the estate agents. They've got shops.
Didn't they own that area during Richard the Lionheart time also?
That's a good return of the story.
So they returned
centuries
later.
They're back.
We've never been able to get rid of them.
Can't get rid of those Brits.
No.
And they like the foie gras. If your foie gras wasn't so good.
They just talk about the French. But basically, if we were not there, they couldn't live without us.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, ask them.
Yeah. Okay,
they're all in France.
I see what you mean. Yeah. I don't blame them.
No.
Vacation.
And I wonder,
France.
Actually, you know, in 10, 20 years, who's going to be living in England?
They'll all be in France if they can afford it. What about Alsace?
Alsace.
Beer.
Sauerkraut.
Wonderful Alsatian wine, the Rhine River.
So you as a French person like the Alsatian wine. I thought it was sort of a simple white German style wine.
No,
it's very light. It's so different from the rest of the white wines all around France. I mean, it's more sweet. It's more. It's very different. So, so yeah, people like the Alsatian wine in France.
Now,
what
region did I miss out of those? Is there any other great place?
Well, look at me.
Ah, Languedoc.
Languedoc.
See, people, I don't even know Languedoc.
Well,
entice me.
It's the Languedoc. The Languedoc is the best place to be.
Pourquoi?
This is kind of like really... Okay, here you are. Just this is like this turning point, you know, going from the Provence towards Spain.
Okay.
Basically, you have to go through the Languedoc region.
There you go.
So this was part, actually, it was at one point called Occitania.
With its own language.
With its own language, and it continues to have its own language. Like the, I live in this little village of 1,300 people.
Right.
About 30 kilometers west of Montpellier.
Oui.
And some of the old people, if, you know, I don't understand a word they say.
Really? In fact, that's what Languedoc means, right? The language
The language of the Oc.
Okay. Now, France is not all purely French. You've got Celtic Britons. Mm-hmm. You've got Basque people who are related to nobody in Western Europe. You've got Corsica and a lot of Germans in Alsace. How is the status of these non-French parts of France? Is there discord now, or are people getting along? I remember when I started traveling, Britain people couldn't even be Brittany music or names or something.
No,
like
it
that.
Has actually it has changed over the last 15 years. You know, there was a time, which is kind of really interesting because the opposite is happening in the U.S. as far as California, but we're talking about France, so. We'll stick with France. As far as the regional languages, they come from the point, as far as teaching foreign languages, that if you do not recognize the culture and the language of that culture, you dismiss that culture by not allowing someone to speak their own language. So the language of a region is really the intricate part, you know, kind of the essence of that culture.
Okay, so Basque people, Breton people, Corsican people, they can still speak their dialect? Is it respected?
Oh, yes, and it's actually taught in school.
And it's actually growing?
I would say.
Yeah, it's a movement.
But it's not threatening Paris anymore.
No. Historically, the French Revolution have kind of put a lid on all those things there. And they wanted France to be centralized starting from Paris.
That's the whole thing, wasn't it? Centralized France around Paris.
So all those regional ideas there will disappear there. Mm-hmm. And
they're considered subversive. You didn't
absolutely,
want
that. Absolutely, yeah. And all the way up to the 1960s, 1970s, where all those movements rediscovered their music, their identity, their culture, their language.
So there's a renaissance.
Absolutely. And from there, it started to rebuild itself. And in the strong region, like Corsica, like Basque, like Brittany,
okay, so
like
there
Alsace,
is a strong spirit in these places.
Absolutely.
Today.
There is. All right. There is, yeah. Language are not that much spoken there because a lot of people are realizing... nice to speak the language, but what am I going to do with
it? But the local pride is still there.
Local pride is still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Absolutely. Yeah.
We have some people on the phone that would like to talk to us. We have Randy on the line in Colorado Springs. Hi, Randy.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Any comments or questions for Patrick or Sabine?
Sabine, spell your last name.
It's Letteinturier. We have this in French. We just... you know, we are complex.
You like letters.
We love adding letters to just really to get you totally confused.
Le Teinturier.
Le Teinturier. Ah, wow. Ça c'est bien. Ça c'est bravo.
Merci.
Je vous en prie.
My language skills are interesting because I'm a very visual person. And so, you know, learning French is something you have to be able to hear. So I can read French novels, and yet listening to people speak is more difficult because all of those silent letters are not visible.
yes.
Wow.
Oh, it's difficult. It is probably the most difficult European language to learn, I think.
Well, you're doing a good job.
I love the language. I've been very fortunate. I had studied in high school and some college, but 8 or 10 years ago, I met a woman in our area where we lived who was native from France. She grew up in Paris, but her mother grew up, let me see if I can remember, in Limoges, and her father was from Normandy area. And so she was raised with more rural traditions than she would have been if she'd been raised by Parisian parents, you understand? And but she taught me a great deal, and we spoke for an hour each week. I think it's the only way really to learn a language is to use it, you know. So still my language skills are not very good because my grammar is terrible.
You just need to come and visit friends?
I need to come more often. We did get to come, and I loved it. And it was so fun because Michelle told me that, she said, the people in Paris are a little...
They're okay. Wonderful people.
Wonderful, but she said they're more snobby about the language.
No.
And I'll tell you, it was so cute because some of them would say, oh, speak English, because I don't think they liked my language. At first, they were a little less patient, but as I continued to speak, you know, I got them to smile. And then when we were in the more rural areas, you know, fewer people knew English, or at least were not as comfortable using it. And I found that they were very, very friendly and anxious to talk and anxious to share. So we had a wonderful time. It wasn't, you know, there really weren't that many people that didn't want to speak.
Well, you got the right attitude about the language, I think, Randy.
Yeah, but you need to continue practicing it.
Oh,
that's the only way you're going to get better at it.
Oui. We have to tell you something really funny. We were looking for Le Metro. And, you know, the train, we were supposed to be close to us, but apparently I misunderstood what the hotel clerk said. He told us to turn left, and we turned left, but he meant left out of the door of the hotel or the corner or something. So we were walking around looking for, and I kept asking these people, you know, on the street, où est le métro, over and over again, you know, where is the metro? And they'd point me, you know. Well, we finally found him. We had a really nice day. Well, the next day was, we were only there for about 3 days, and the next day we were wandering around Paris, and a young man came up to us, and he was from somewhere in the south of France and apparently had never been to Paris. He was native. And he came up and he said, où est le métro? So he was asking us, and I had just been asking the same question the day before. I just thought that was so much fun.
Well, you got that sentence down really well.
Well, I would prefer, when I go again, to spend more time with people rather than... we didn't have a lot of time. And... in other countries, we know people that live, for instance, in Germany and Norway and so on. But I don't have friends who live in France, so I would like to be able to get to know people in the rural areas and visit with the people in the country rather than spending time in the big cities and, you know, tourist things. Because to me, that's how to get to know people and to enjoy. And all of us are the same people. We just have to get to know each other's customs.
That's for sure. Randy, that was a great idea. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
You know, Americans are so famous for not speaking French well, and a lot of our language is creeping into the French language. Is that considered a threat by the French government or the French people? What are you doing to preserve the French language in the global economy?
Well, there's plenty of things happening. I mean, a couple of years ago, they passed this law about having some ratios for quotas for Anglo-Saxon music on radios.
So what does that mean?
So that means that for most of the radios in France, they wouldn't be allowed to put more than 40% of non-French music on the radio. So some radios have turned the difficulty around, and they pass the French music all night long. And
really? They play that? Overall, they can play 40% non-French.
So
from midnight till 6 in the morning,
exactly.
All French, and they can have majority English.
And they can do whatever they want the rest of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
And the French Academy has kind of this, the people, this bunch of old people working on the French dictionary there, they kind of said as well, we can't accept any English words in the language there. They're working on it. It just doesn't work.
It's hard. It's like stopping the tide, really.
You can't stop it. I mean, it's just...
Aren't there even tax penalties for businesses that have... English words in their name or something like this?
No, that's a myth.
That's a myth. Okay.
No.
So there's
because as we get into the high technology,
yeah.
You know, believe it or not,
age,
we
yeah.
have computers too in France and iPods.
And do you call it software?
We call it, what do we call it? We call it logiciel. The software is logiciel.
Okay,
yeah, we do translate. But I mean, you know, the English words are, I mean, you cannot live without them. I mean, I say we can and okay.
But you know, we... when you look at the English language, it's full of French words as well. So,
but you just mispronounce them.
A lot of them. A lot of them are coming back. So that's right. That's fair enough.
And your language might be overrun with English words, and your countryside is overrun with tourists. Also, as French people, where do you go if you want a vacation in France without international tourists?
Well, actually, for me, I went to Brittany. From the Languedoc, it's actually probably the furthest I could go, and I.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it because I camped. I went with my daughter, and we crossed actually central part of France via, and then just through Bordeaux, and then we went all the way to the Finistère, which is just like as you enter Brittany, you know, you continue
right
down, and it was just absolutely a magnificent trip, and just really enjoyed it. Just too bad I didn't have enough time.
It's always the problem.
But, there's so many, so many parts.
But you had a lot of time for your vacation, I would imagine. The French sort of invented the vacation, I think, la vacation.
And 5 weeks. Five weeks minimal.
Americans have this romanticized image of French as just the joie de vivre and enjoying all the fine food and enjoying the vacation, Club Med, everything. Is that romanticized, or do you really have a forte for enjoying your
yes.
free time? It's a little bit of the two. I mean, it's certainly a little bit exaggerated and a little bit cliché, but it does exist, yeah, of course. I mean, people like their time off, and it's 35 hours a week for most of the people in France as well. And,
35 hours a week? Is
35 hours, yeah.
So
it's not
hours.
Everybody, but it's and it's kind of stepping back to 39 hours. But,
so you're having to roll back on that a little bit to compete in the global economy or something?
Absolutely. They realized that they couldn't put that on absolutely every company.
But, as far as the work week and the week vacation, this is not typical of France. It's all over Europe. You wouldn't brag about the number of hours that you spend at the office. It's the amount of weeks that you're going to be going on vacation. And if you time it right, of tying those holidays, that's what really you aim for.
So the vacation is a big part of your year?
If you really play your cards right between the holidays and your 5 weeks, you can really have some really good weekend and some good time with your family, which I think is really essential.
Oh, yeah.
It is an interesting time because France is part of, obviously the 25 countries of Europe, and we have to actually compete, with other
right.
with other countries.
So
and
this
actually
is part of the EU, the whole
yeah, absolutely. And so France is actually has the highest. The cost of labor is the highest in France.
The cost of labor is the highest in all
France.
Of Europe, in France?
In France.
Why is that?
Well, because we have really wonderful social benefits, and to have social benefits, you have to pay into it.
Right.
There's a minimal wage, and an employer has to give, five mm-hmm. weeks paid vacation. And basically, for example, new countries entering the EU, there is a shift of the mm-hmm. labor, and you can also think of that. I mean, maybe that's getting a little more specialized, but yes. I mean, it is, it's a bigger world.
Now, I imagine as French tour guides, it must get a little old always hearing about how tough Americans have a tough challenge figuring out the culture and everything, but I'm just the classic American, and I've had the benefit of 20 years of traveling with France and in France, and I know that the more I understand France, the more I appreciate it and enjoy it. You guys bring Americans around on your tours. What is there a fundamental difference in outlooks or something that you think causes this challenge for Americans when they go to France?
Formality. French people are very formal. The language is very formal. The approach of people is very formal. It's not being more polite. It's just being more formal, using more polite words. You've got to say again and again, bonjour.
And this is really important.
Well. And it's very important to the French people.
To the French people.
Yeah. And you can't enter a shop somewhere and say hi. It just doesn't work. You've got to go bonjour monsieur, bonjour madame, and so on.
So you just spend some energy learning
absolutely.
These fine points
yeah,
of the culture.
Absolutely. And it breaks a lot of barriers.
Tell me how France has changed from De Gaulle times.
I was too young in De Gaulle.
But I mean that's a lot of Americans remember De Gaulle's France. That was really the chauvinistic France, I think.
No, chauvinistic is the idea that the American have of De Gaulle and
right.
There was a complete misunderstanding about what De Gaulle was saying and what De Gaulle was wanting. All De Gaulle was saying is France want to rebuild itself. okay, want so to do it itself, want to have American companies and American money coming on the scene there, and need to, if you want to protect your identity, your culture, your language, you want to do it yourself. You've got your self pride as well, and you want to do it yourself. And a lot of that has been understood as, okay, thank you for saving us from the German, but go away from our country. And it was not as simple as that. It's not black and white like that.
That's the post-World War II, 1950s kind of France, and you had been pretty much devastated by World War II.
Of course, yeah. There was a lot of work to rebuild the country.
And a lot of money coming in with the Marshall Plan.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the French, you had your great hero from the war, de Gaulle, running the country.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of pride on saying, we can do it ourselves.
I mean, it was a heroic struggle, and some people misunderstood it as chauvinistic.
That's our point of view.
I mean, that makes sense. I didn't think about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And actually, you know, just as far as we're talking about de Gaulle, but interestingly, I mean, I picked up a magazine before I got to the airport, and there was about a study about the Mitterrand era.
Right.
You know, because actually we've had a few presidents since de Gaulle.
Sure.
And Mitterrand is one that has really marked the 70s and the 80s. I mean, the 80s particularly. He was a socialist president, and just kind of there was this wave of, you know, things were going to be different. And so it has really evolved. I mean, this is a country that is not about all historic buildings or historic monuments. This is a living country, and people are adjusting to a bigger world, and they travel more, and we have more technology. It's kind of unfortunate to keep those ideas of, like, for example, you know, I understand that, because some of my tour members, you know, are mentioning that, like, for example, there was this this older man that mentioned to me that the last time that he was here was, you know, after the Second World War. And he was part of the army and stationed there. And then he left, and it was his first time back. And there was that, you know, that kind of really bitter taste of, you know, here we are, we know, we helped you. And he was still using the present, the present tense, you know, to describe that. And, you know, kind of went home just feeling, I mean, I cannot blame him, just feeling like, you know, here he went away from his family and things like that. But I mean, time passes, and just like now, I mean, you know, September 11, I mean, the Iraqi invasion, events changes, but I mean, we are moving on. There's other crises, there are other conflicts, and people, you know, are going along with that.
And Mitterrand was a huge, like an era in French.
Yeah, I remember.
That really brought the modern France.
Huh? I remember when he was elected. I mean, I was a student. I was finishing my studies, and I was living in Paris. And I mean, I remember going up to the Bastille. You know, it was a big party. There were people all over the subway, and it was like things were going to be different, and the people were going to be heard. And then, you know, he did two terms, and kind of slowly, you know, those hopes and just kind of went, you know, kind of
dissolved,
kind of dived. But he left some wonderful things, wonderful buildings.
Mitterrand, of course.
Huh? And he even has
decorated the modern art on the freeway. That's uniquely French, by the way. You don't see that anywhere else.
Yeah, I think actually Jacques Lang, who was the minister of culture, had quite a bit to do with, you know, bringing really
La Défense,
the art.
Is all of that part of Mitterrand?
Yes.
So the big, huge business park outside
of
Paris.
It was just, you know, okay, let's just join in as far as the business world.
We got Angel in Novato, California. Hello, Angel.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling.
I'm glad to listen to you folks.
Yeah.
Of course, we've only gone via train once. The rest of the time we've driven, which is a lot more fun, and you get a lot more out of just the places that you happen to want to go see. And if you like one place a little bit more than you thought you would, then you just stay long. You have that freedom versus having to live by
the train schedules.
The train.
Did you manage okay with the language barrier and so on, driving around France?
Oh, sure. There was no problem there. There's a lot of English being spoken, and some Spanish out in the south, although it's more Catalan than the Spanish that they speak in, say, Madrid.
Yeah. Now, what sightseeing advice would you give people who are listening if they want to do something special in France?
Well, I would advise that they go either Languedoc or Alsace.
Languedoc or Alsace. That's interesting. So you like the fringe France.
I beg your pardon?
You like the get away from Paris and get out into the countryside.
No, I love Paris, too, and so does my wife. In fact, Normandy was beautiful and very interesting and good food, as well as down in the, I can't think of the area, but Amboise is one of the cities that's there. Good wine in that area. In fact, Burgundy is not only a gorgeous place with all these flowing hills and grapevines, but their wine, especially there in Beaune.
Beaune is great, yeah. They've got the Marché aux Vins. Did you go there?
Where?
The Marché aux Vins, the big wine market underground in Beaune.
No, we didn't get to go see that. No.
That's a brilliant experience for the, especially, well, for any wine merchant or even a tourist who's just interested in developing a taste for good wine. You pay $10 and you get in and you can sample from 20 different wines that are opened.
My God.
In this beautiful subterranean kind of, you know, cellar.
I think if you would ask me which of all the wines I would prefer, I think that the Alsatian would be one. And then, of course, the Pinot Noir at the area we were just talking about in Burgundy.
Yeah.
And I think it surpasses Bordeaux.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call, Angel.
Oh, sure. You're welcome.
Okay, bye now. We have Carolyn on the line in Stroud, Oklahoma. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
How was your experience in France?
Well, it was one of the most wonderful experiences of our lives.
Why?
We found the people to be just so helpful and so warm and inviting that it was just a really good experience.
And where did you travel?
Well, my husband was working for the government, for the American government, in Paris for a week. And so I had a week to just travel or walk, actually. I walked most of the time all around Paris and saw all the sights. Then we took a train to the south of France. And everywhere we went, it was like God had someone standing there waiting to do some helpful thing for us.
Wow. That's quite a compliment. What's a highlight of your South France experience?
Well, I think one of the highlights was as we went on the train from Paris to the south of France, there was a woman sitting there in a seat right ahead of us, and we did take some French classes before we went, and so one of the things I learned to say, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but parlez-vous anglais was something I used quite often, and she said, yes, I speak English. So the whole trip from Paris to close to Nice, we carried on a conversation with her, and she and her husband managed a 5-star hotel at Saint Paul et Vence, and she said that she would like to invite us to go home with her and stay in their hotel.
Whoa.
And she wanted, and I said, well, we were going to stay in a small, inexpensive hotel in Nice, and she said, well, how much were you planning on paying? I was kind of embarrassed to say, since I knew she had a 5-star hotel. But finally, I told her, and she said, well, both of you can go home with me, and you can stay at our hotel as long as you'd like for that same price. So her husband met us at the train station in his little sports car, and we managed to get all of our luggage on our laps and in his small trunk. And as we drove along the Riviera in his sports car, it was like a dream.
Wow.
Because there was a full moon and the sea was so blue, I'd never seen the Mediterranean before, and so it was just so beautiful. And then
great?
We drove up to their 5-star hotel, and all these people came scurrying out to help us into the hotel, and I'm sure she gave us one of the finest rooms that was there, with a view out on the balcony of the Riviera. And also, as we were riding on the train, she wrote out an itinerary for us of everywhere that we should go to sightsee while we were there. And they made arrangements for our rental car to be brought from the airport in Nice up to the door of the hotel.
Wow, you sure hit the jackpot there, and that's not that unusual. I mean, so many people make good friends in their travels, and they're just bowled over by the hospitality and the friendliness they discover.
And as we were in the south of France going through Mentone, we missed a lot of meals, lunch times, because it seemed that, you know, if you didn't have your lunch by 2, well, then the restaurants were closed. So we were in Mentone walking around looking for a restaurant, which we never found, but there was a couple who walked up to me, and I asked them, parlez-vous anglais, and they said, well, they were from Canada. So I told her we were actually looking for a restaurant, but we hadn't found it. So she said, well, the restaurants were all closed at that time of day, but would we like to come up to their flat with them?
All right.
Then they just invited us to come up there and eat their fruit and visit with them and relax for a while. And those were two of the many experiences that we had.
Well, it sounds like you had a great experience, Carolyn.
Oh, we did. Yeah. It was just wonderful.
All right. We're going to have to run along now, but I want to thank you for your call.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bon, au revoir.
Au revoir.
Parlez-vous en français. I've been talking with Patrick and Sabine. We're learning about French culture, and I want to thank you guys for helping us out.
You're very welcome. Merci. Thanks for having us.
Avec plaisir.
Avec
with pleasure.
With pleasure.
À très bientôt, j'espère.
I'll see you.
Au Languedoc, dans le Languedoc. Hein?
Oui.
Tu viens.
I have no idea what you said.
You say oui.
Oui.
Bien sûr.
Merci bien. A bientôt.
A bientôt.
See you in France.
Each year, Rick Steves tour guides take thousands of free-spirited travelers on escorted tours through France and beyond, one small group at a time. For example, just for France, you can choose from four exciting itineraries. For a free tour catalogue and Rick Steves Tour Experience DVD, visit the tour section at ricksteves.com.